Okay, Mary and I were just talking. It's not fair to start first thing in the morning with that video because the mascara on me just started to run. I mean, does that make you thankful for the country we live in or what? I also think it's cool that agriculture is sexy again, that everybody wants to put those kinds of scenes in their videos and their advertising. And I was just talking with Mary, I think it was this morning, or was Dr. Fraley, that when can you pick up a newspaper and not see food and ag news anymore? It's about time people are paying attention. I think it's very nice of you all to invite me to be here, to sneak across the border, to brag about California and California agriculture. How many people here are from California? And the rest of you, how many from Nebraska by chance? Because I bet, even in California, there are some people that go, California is the land of fruits and nuts, and that's talking about our legislature or some of our environmental laws. And I'm here to tell you what my good friend Paul Wenger, the president of California Farm Bureau, likes to say: California is a spectacular place to grow things. It's not easy, and it's certainly not for sissies, but California is a great place to grow things. We are the number one agricultural state in the country by leaps and bounds, like Texas and Nebraska combined, you know, maybe come up to our farm gate value. When I started, I'm not taking credit for this, California agriculture's farm gate value in 2011 was about $38.5 billion, and last year it was $44.5. And we don't do it with just a couple of crops, 400 different crops commercially viable, because we've been blessed with the climate and the soils and the innovative people and the water system to allow us to grow wonderful crops that are in high demand here and around the world because of our quality, the consistency of our quality, and the safety of the food that we produce. We're very market-driven. When you look at our top 10 crops that are all in the billion-dollar club, a lot of them are permanent crops that aren't grown in a lot of other places. Almonds, walnuts, pistachios, wine grapes, table grapes, raisins, citrus, tree fruit, lettuce. If you have a salad today, 50-50 chance that all those products came out of California. Salinas Valley not only grows a diversity of leafy greens and vegetables, they are probably the best innovators I know of when it comes to the logistics of taking it from the field to the table in a relatively short period of time and constantly innovating. When you think about bagged lettuce and salads that are ready-made, just go home and open it up, that's stuff that happened basically in the last decade. And it's that proximity of agriculture to the Silicon Valley that has really given us a unique advantage. I am very proud that we are the people who are on the front edge of climate change and adaptation to climate change. I like to tell all of my friends in the environmental community that every farmer I know thinks about and worries about weather on a daily basis, that every farmer I know is in the field on a daily basis making those slight adjustments where they can because of what weather's doing. Farmers are all about resilience and adaptation. But climate change is presenting us challenges that are even bigger than we've ever had to face before. And because our state has some mandatory issues that we're dealing with, agriculture is very much at the table at talking about what we're doing to adapt, and more importantly, how agriculture can be part of the solution. When we think about what we can do with good conservation practices, smart farming decisions to improve carbon sinks, to be a part of solving some of the very environmental issues that people tend to want to blame on us, agriculture is part of that solution, and agriculture is part of that solution because we've never been shy about taking on new technology. And I know that that's the theme of your of your presentations this year, and it is an exciting time for us to be here. Because at the end of the day, there's a couple of things that we know, and they're driving California agriculture. One is global demand. The fact that we have to feed 9 billion people in a short period of time, 2 billion more people than we have on the world today. How do we do that with less arable land, less available water, and poorer quality water where it is? We have to adopt technology. We have to be precise with every input that we have, and we can do that. If we continue to work with great science and making sound management decisions, we will very much be a part of helping to solve the critical issues facing the globe today. And I'm very excited about the role that California can play in that. One of the things that I also think is important to think about why people are paying so much attention to agriculture right now, there's two reasons. One is the cost of health care, and as some of us, I just went to the Clip and Dip this weekend, so you can't see my gray roots, but some of us, as we age, figured out that if I'd just taken better care of myself and eaten better, I might have been able to avoid having to take... I mean, did you see the news yesterday about how many more people were going to put on statins? But when you think about chronic disease and the intersection of understanding nutrition and what we eat and how we exercise that can avoid very expensive chronic diseases, when we think about the obesity epidemic, we think about the onset of childhood diabetes, what we eat and the attention that's being paid to our food in ways that didn't happen several decades ago is a driver of demand for what we do. But we also know that there is a food movement going on. Some of it is about local, regional food systems. Some of it is about, I only want organic. Whatever it is, finally, the consumer wants to reconnect with where their food comes from. And that's a good thing. It's causing the numbers of farmers' markets to explode. It's causing more people to subscribe to that box of vegetables on a weekly basis and then try to figure out what to do with it. It's a great thing. It can also sometimes be a scary thing because people that are uninformed but well-intentioned can sometimes approach us with questions that sound accusatory. And it's hard not to be defensive when they want to know about what you're doing and why you're doing it. But it's really and truly an invitation for each one of us to step into this conversation and let them know, here's what I do, why I do it, when I do it, and the benefit for you as a consumer. And every one of us has to be involved in that kind of a dialogue. In California, we have small farms and large farms. I have young people in farming that have a business plan to grow 2 acres of organic vegetables that they're only going to sell to chefs in San Francisco. I have good friends in the Central Valley who have 10,000 acres of almonds, and they're very focused on being the most efficient almond producer for the Chinese market. We have that kind of diversity because the marketplace gives us many, many marketing channels. And I think one of the most important things that we need to do in the agricultural community is not make the discussion about it's either small or large. It's either organic or biotechnology. What we want to do is have the full spectrum of farming practices, sizes, and choices available to the consumers. Because at the end of the day, no matter where I go, what we have in this country that I don't see in any other country is the magnitude of choice, the diversity of choices in our grocery aisles, in the produce section. If I want to pay $8.59 for brown eggs from a cage-free, organic-fed chicken, I can do that. But in that same market, I can pay $1.59 for efficiently, safely produced eggs as a great source of protein for my family. We offer those kinds of choices, and it's important for us to preserve those choices for our consumers, which then preserve choices for us to determine which marketing channels we want to be in. At the end of the day, We are about diversity and choice and connecting with consumers in ways that is an exciting new world for us to be a part of. So when you think about technology and you think about the precision of everything that you can do in the fields, in the orchards, in the pastures, think about what technology is also allowing you to do to be transparent in the social media in a way to connect to our consumers so that as well-informed consumers, they're also better-informed voters who help make public policy happen that supports the continued success of California agriculture and American agriculture. At the end of the day, farmers and ranchers make the very quality of life that we enjoy as Americans possible because we make that food choice available, accessible, and affordable. And that is a huge strategic advantage for any country to have. And it's something that each one of us has a stake in preserving. I want to thank you for giving me the chance to come over the state border early in the morning to brag about California. And I just want you to know that with all the environmental challenges we have and the regulations we put on people, it makes our farmers the smartest, most efficient, most innovative farmers in the world, and it's part of the California brand. So when you reach for that salad today, thank a California farmer and know that it's safe and it's got an environmental ethic that stands behind it to give you the best that's ever possible. Thanks for your attention.